The following podcast of SB Nation Radio is brought to you by BetDSI.com. With the NFL and college football seasons here, it's time to take that pigskin knowledge to the bank at BetDSI.com. With 20 years in the business, an impeccable reputation for great service, fast payouts, and an excellent mobile interface where you can play, win, and get paid, it's a no-brainer. BetDSI.com is the place to go. They have every wager option you could ever want or even imagine. And if you're watching a game, you can use BetDSI's live betting option to bet on the fly. Whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the UFC, esports, global sports, or even politics, celebrities. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. Whatever you feel like betting on, BetDSI has it for you. You get started today with BetDSI, you can get some extra bang for your buck, too. They're offering double your money for your first deposit. That's right, deposit to start winning and get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go. So what are you waiting for? Double your bankroll right now by joining BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101. The games are more fun when you get paid, so play at BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101.
This is SB Nation AM,
another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
Glad you could join us on SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM, Tony D and Ron Culver. A couple of years ago, college basketball made a statement that said, you don't watch college basketball for players. You watch college basketball because of the teams. Players just come and go, but your passion for the teams will always stay, and that's the attraction. That wasn't the case last night. Last night, everyone wanted to see Zion Williamson. They paid thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars to see Zion Williamson. President Obama went down there to see Zion Williamson. And they didn't get to see Zion Williamson because 40 seconds into the game, he blew out a shoe and suffered a mild knee sprain, is what they're saying. Who knows how that mild knee sprain is going to play out. But boy, oh boy, in the, 12 hours, less than that, that we've had since the injury, there's been a lot of conversation about amateurism, where college basketball, and even to some extent football is, with the way it uses its student athletes. Oh, the one-and-done rule in the NBA, we're going to have that argument again. But all in all, last night was not another Duke-North Carolina game that we just were casually watching. For many people last night, they wanted to watch Zion Williamson in the Duke-North Carolina rivalry. We get the Duke-North Carolina rivalry twice a year, sometimes three times a year, if they meet in the ACC tournament. We get this all the time. This wasn't unique. This wasn't a weird scheduling fluke that happened to just, oh my God, North Carolina and Duke, and they're so close together, they're going to play basketball. They do it all the time. We've had some of the best college basketball players in college and even in the NBA who have participated in this rivalry, have gone in the history books because of this rivalry. Last night was not about another chapter. It was about Zion Williamson. So when we see it in person, when we know it and we see it, does it make the argument that college basketball made that you don't watch for players, you watch for team? How could you not watch for players when Zion Williamson was causing ticket prices to go through the roof in a rivalry we get every single year? But what does it say about amateurism? What does it say about student athletes? There's arguments on both sides, and we'll break it down coming up next as we roll on this morning on SB Nation AM. It's Tony D and Ron Culver at SB Nation Radio.
It's Thursday, which means it's Throwback Thursday on SB Nation AM. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Rod Stewart. Excellent. 1979 is what we're honoring today. And the reason we're honoring that is because this is kind of a cool story. I don't know if it's cool. I shouldn't really say that because you might not think it's cool. The greatest high school basketball game ever. Two Iowa girls basketball teams played four scoreless quarters My God. And was won 4-2 in the fourth overtime period. That happened on this date in 1979. Can you imagine the parents in that game? Like, just put it in the basket. Oh, my God. Like, that would drive me crazy.
I mean, in the first overtime, you're just like, can't anyone make a shot?
Referees are like, here, no, travel. I don't care. Just, can I go home? Just put the ball in the hoop.
I mean, it's bad enough four scoreless quarters, but they win it in the fourth overtime, 4-2.
At what point did people realize, you know, this is going to be historic. This is going to be awesome. Let's just ride this thing out.
At what point did people just say, you know what, let's just go home?
Yeah, well, it's, you know, it's like when you're at a baseball game, like on a Tuesday night, you always see these people like in Major League Baseball where it's like an 18-inning baseball game on a Tuesday, like in July, where, you know, it's a work night. It's not a holiday or a weekend or anything. And like people are there till like 2 o'clock in the morning and they're just like, ah, you know what? I'll sleep when I'm dead. I'm just staying until the end of this thing. I don't care when it's going to be at four overtimes, high school bath. And, you know, I'm sure in 1979, much like we have today, the girls' game is before the boys' game, usually, you know, kind of a doubleheader. So that probably, like, who knows how long that night went in 1979. So we should have some good music on Throwback Thursday 1979, right? That was a good year for tunes, yeah. Right?
Oh, no. Well, I mean, it's a definite certain genre.
Right. Rod Stewart kicking us off. That's pretty awesome. So Zion Williamson, boy, that went bad fast.
Wow. Got your money's worth.
Oh, my God. 33 seconds into the game, the shoe gets... That looked terrible, by the way. That looks so nasty. The shoe just explodes and he falls to the ground. The Duke players thought he was coming back, and nobody really knew until that he wasn't. Until like, oh, he's not coming back. He's not playing in this game. How would you feel if you paid $3,000 to attend this game or sat in Krzyzewskiville for months to try to get tickets to this very special Duke North Carolina game, and you got 33 seconds of Zion Williamson in a busted shoe?
I mean, that had to hurt, right?
Oh, God,
three
yes.
grand.
Because again, like I said earlier, this isn't a rivalry that is like happens every Halley's Comet. Happens 2 to 3 times a season. So you can see this if you're just interested in Duke North Carolina. If you just bought the, you're like, I just want to see Duke North Carolina. I don't care who plays, and you paid $3,000. All right, best of luck to you. But everyone wanted to see Zion. That was it. Zion making a big mark in this rivalry. And he did, because he lasted 33 seconds before he was taken out of the game with a mild knee sprain. All right, so let me just say this. How many hours since that happened? What, 10? I don't know how to do the math. Maybe 5, 7? I don't know what to do the math. Here's the problem with this. There's a knee-jerk reaction to this that's going to happen. Because people are going to point to this and say, this is the problem with college athletics. This is the problem with the NBA one-and-done rule. That kid could have got seriously hurt. But there's another flip side to this. And Dan Wolkin at USA Today wrote a pretty good column on this. Now, I disagree with him, but I think I got to point out his point. Because I think it's a good argument for the other side. Because I'm always big, like, get away from college if you don't need to be there. If you don't need to play college athletics, don't play college athletics. I'm a big guy on that side of the coin. I think if you can play professional sports, you don't need to go to school. You want to go to school and get an education, go later. Go at 30. Go at 35. But if you can go capitalize on it, capitalize it now. But Dan Wolkin's point at USA Today, and I've known Dan for a long time, so I wanted to give him credit for this, is that Zion Williamson going into college basketball was rated by a number of recruiting sites as maybe the fifth best prospect going in. Some had him fourth. Some had him seventh. He wasn't the number one, clearly the best of the best of the best prospect going into college athletics. What made him this icon, this cultural icon in the college basketball world? Duke and college basketball, but more importantly, Duke. If he was playing at Morehead State, he'd be getting attention, but he's playing at Duke. And Duke gets on national TV, and Duke gets all the attention, and Duke gets a lot of eyes on its program. So Zion playing for Duke, and the way he was playing at Duke, meaning his highlights are going to be on television, meaning his stories are going to be written about him, meaning the viral videos are going to fly all over the place, and a lot of it has to do with where he is right now. Now, again, I agree with that. that Zion Williamson playing at Duke, it gives him the kind of exposure that is going to make him the number one pick. Maybe he wouldn't been the number one pick if he had disappeared off into some athletic facility somewhere and spent a year away from the sport working on his game, waiting to be drafted. Maybe he would have if the NBA scouts were still looking at him and saying, I don't care where he played. I don't care what he was doing. This guy is a beast, and I'm going to take him. But I still think when I see injuries like that, I get really scared for the guy's future. Now, look, he's got a mild knee sprain, and it's been pointed out, and I agree. There's barely an injury, short of amputating his leg, that would have caused him not to be the number one pick in the draft. His upside is tremendous. So you even if he was on crutches and was going to be out for like 8 months, you'd still take him because of the youth and the ability when he comes back from that injury. So no, he wasn't really going to be risking the number one pick and all the millions of dollars that are coming. But that doesn't mean other players aren't. That doesn't mean other players that are not Zion Williamson aren't risking this as well. It stinks that we have a system in place set by the NBA and not college basketball. College basketball is just capitalizing on it, that says these guys can't go right to the pros. Because if you can go play, I don't care. I hated so much. The one argument that I used to hear all the time used to drive me crazy when people would say, well, these guys need to get an education. These guys need to stay in school, get their degree. And I used to always counter that with, hey, do you care about the guy who's got to leave school to go work at his family business? Do you care about him finishing his degree? How come you care about the athlete at the school you care about? How come he has to stay to get a degree? Do you even know what degree he's getting? Do you know what his grade point average is? Do you know what homework load he has? Do you know about the oral exam and the written exam that he's got to take for some psychology class? No, you couldn't care less. What you care about is the fact that he's going to play for your school for 3 more years. That's the only thing you care about. You couldn't care less if he was taking 5 classes or 3 or 2 or 5, 7, 9, 13. You couldn't care less. You care about him playing for your school to help your team win a national championship. And you know what? That's as selfish as him wanting to leave to make money to play in the NBA. Don't stop with the argument that we care about these student-athletes' education. We don't care about these student-athletes' education. We don't care that they get a degree in a tough competitive world and something to fall back on should the NBA career. You don't care. Stop pretending you do. You care about them playing college basketball for your school. That's why we make that argument. And I tell them, get away from that system if you can make it. If you can make money in the pros. If you get away from that. I have no problems with a player going, I'm done. If Zion Williamson came out tomorrow and said, yep, that is it. I'm going to recover from this, and I'm getting the hell out of this system. I wouldn't blame him one bit. That was exploitation at its highest level yesterday. It was almost embarrassing, people paying $3,000 for a basketball ticket. For a regular season game, Super Bowl-level prices. What are we, insane? And why? Why were they doing that? Why were they giving people $3,000 for this ticket? Because they wanted to see him. They don't want to see Duke. They don't want to see North Carolina. They get that all the time. They can see that anytime. Nope. They wanted to see this kid. And that kid got nothing for this deal. Nothing but a mild sprain. Silly. Absolutely silly. Listen, I get Dan Wolkin's argument, and I respect him completely. And it was a very well-written piece, and I urge you to go read it. If Zion Williamson entered college basketball as the fourth best, fifth best recruit going into the class and turned himself into a monster number one pick, threw down a monster number one pick because he played for Duke, then Zion got out of it what he wanted to get out of it. The kind of exposure that you get playing at Duke, and now he's going to capitalize on it because he's going to be the runaway number one pick in the draft. The runaway number one pick in the draft. They will call the lottery the Zion Williamson lottery. That's how big he's going to be. There's no debate. There's no argument. And if somebody doesn't take him number one, they're insane. I don't care what this injury actually turns out to be. They're insane. All right, 800-777-2907. Should he leave? Should he stay? Should he continue to play? Should he continue to be a part of this system? Should he try to win a national championship? Has he already done enough? Or is the system fine the way it is? 800-777-2907. Hit me up on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, Ron with two N's. It's SB Nation AM.
It's Thursday, which means it's Throwback Thursday on SB Nation AM. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, we are honoring the year 1979. Well, you went Village People quick, 1979.
Got to get
Village People in. Village People, YMCA. At O'Reilly Auto Parts, you're guaranteed to get an everyday low price on the parts you need. O'Reilly Auto Parts will match any local auto parts store price on any like item. O'Reilly Auto Parts has the parts you need and guaranteed low prices. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day.
You know what I like about this song?
Yes.
With its dance? Because everyone knows the dance.
Everybody does it at ballparks around the country.
Yeah, but it had staying power. Or it still has staying power.
It does still have staying power, right?
Unlike, you know, like the Macarena. And,
yeah,
you know, any other type of dance. It's like this one, when this song plays, people get excited for it still.
We lost that one quick. The Macarena lasted, what, 2 years maybe? Tops?
Maybe. Probably 2 years too long.
That was it.
But nobody will complain about this one.
No one will complain about this one.
Even like the most hardened criminal minds will, you know, throw up the Y, the M, the C, and the A.
So last night, this Duke North Carolina game, you really start processing what happened last night. What a horrible night for people who were really thinking that they were going to, like Duke fans especially, that wanted to see Zion Williamson lead Duke to a win against their rival. They saw him get hurt and North Carolina dominated the game. They were scoring buckets on the inside all night long in a victory 88-72. This is a rout. The shoe came apart. Can we process that for a second?
Yeah.
The shoe came apart. He planted his left foot, and his foot slid through the sneaker. And there was a watch on the Nike stock. Like, this was a bizarre night in sports. College athlete player goes down. We're watching sneakers stocks. The former president was there. People, I wasted $5,000 on this ticket. What's going to win? Oh, no, I spent 2 months in Krzyzewskiville wanting to see this game, and my team not only lost, they lost big, and we lost our star player for a while. Who knows when he'll come back? God. Hilarious. Absolutely hilarious. And I don't mean that, like, because I'm down on Zion Williamson. No. I felt bad last night watching this thing. Listen, the reason the ticket prices were so high really is because there's only 9,000 people that get to go to Cameron. Maybe, I think it's 9,300 at tops. So when you have a game like this, it's, you know, tickets are very, very scarce. But there was an anticipation of seeing something. That's the reason why the ticket prices were high. You were going to see a good rivalry, but you were going to see a historic player that could go down as one of the best players, and who knows? And his impact on the game. You wanted to see what he was going to do. Was he going to score 50? Was he going to score 10? Was he going to score 5? Was he going to get stopped? Was he going to get a triple-double? Like, what was he going to do? Who knows? But we'll never know, because the shoe came apart. That's it. You ever seen a 6'7", 285-man guy lose his footing with his shoe and fall down?
Most of the time when that happens, we see him, bust the backboard.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's normally what we see 6'7" guys break, especially someone of his size. Not shoes. That was a new one.
How did he get such a faulty footwear? Like, how does that happen? I don't know much about the sneaker business.
You know, Nike Brass is sweating bullets today.
God, are you kidding me? They couldn't have asked for a worse. Like, this wasn't a of all the sneakers to blow out, that's not the game to be blowing out a sneaker.
And of all the players, you could have picked anybody else on that court.
Oh, absolutely.
And you probably would have been able to get away. I mean, you know, maybe there's a few other, you know, maybe the few marquee players, maybe not, but No one has the stature right now of Zion Williamson.
It's so funny. There's a term, you know, wrong place, wrong time. That's the biggest wrong place, wrong time I think you could have as a sneaker company for something like that to happen. Zion Williamson in the Duke, North Carolina game at Cameron. Oh, my God. That reminded me of Schrixon Golf Ball Company. They sponsored Thomas Bjorn. And it was like 2003. It was like the British Open. And Bjorn was in the final round or something. He was contending for the lead, or he had the lead at the British Open. And he was in a bunker. And he could not get the ball out of this bunker. And the camera, at one point, he was committing these shots, and they would stay in the bunker. They'd get on the green, they would spin back into the bunker. And he made a big number, and it kind of cost him the British Open. But the camera zoomed in on the golf ball, and there was Schrixon just laying there. And I can imagine thinking, oh, what a day for them. This ball can't get out of sand traps. And that's the way it was last night with the Nike shoe. It's like, yeah, who's made that shoe? Nike. Oh, no. Let's go to the stock tape to figure this one out. God, what a terrible night. By the way, speaking of terrible nights, did you hear what happened at the Georgia-Mississippi State game last night? Oh, let me tell you about this bad boy. Yeah, this is the best.
Awesome.
This is the best. So Georgia and Mississippi State, and just to preface this, Georgia's terrible. I mean, Georgia is a terrible basketball team right now. They are like 1-11 or 1-12 in the SEC. They're terrible. But they came back in a game at home against Mississippi State. And there was about half a second remaining in the game when Kendari Weatherspoon of the Mississippi State Bulldogs, not the Georgia Bulldogs, was at the free throw line. And somebody in the stands took a teddy bear or a bulldog, a toy bulldog, and threw it on the court. And the officials went, that's a technical foul. That's a technical on Georgia. And Weatherspoon got another free throw because of it. And guess how many points Mississippi State won by? One. It was a tie game when he went to the free throw, when he was at the free throw line. And they gave him another one because somebody threw a stuffed doll on the court. Now, he could have made that one anyway. But because he made it, he didn't have to make the second one. He purposely missed it. And thus the round. But he had missed the first free throw. So he's at the line for two free throws. He misses the first one. The game's still tied. And then somebody went, oh, I know what to do with this. Chuck. And it landed on the court. And he got a technical foul, which he made. When he went back to the line, he didn't have to make the next free throw. He just threw it up to let the time run out. And Mississippi State won the basketball game. Well, can I make a point here? I think Tom Crean is 100% correct. The coach of Georgia. You have to know who threw that, right? You can't just assume that was a Georgia fan that threw that stuffed bulldog. Otherwise, you could plant people in the stands chucking things on the court when you're at the free throw line. If we're just going to play the game of, well, we're in Athens, so it must have been a Georgia Bulldog fan. Really? You don't think some fan is now going to pick up on that and go, hey, you know what? I'll travel to see my team on the road. I'll throw something out on the court. The officials just went, nope, that's a technical foul. It was thrown. And Crean's right. He's like, wait a minute. We never got a warning on this. No one even looked to see who threw it. And you're just giving a guy with a half a second remaining on the clock another free throw? That's insane. He's right. He's absolutely right. This was not the right way to do it. However, Ron, it's still hysterically funny.
Oh, I can't believe, I don't think I've ever seen a game where fan interference decided. I mean, not fan interference. I guess fan interference.
Yeah, you can make that point.
We've seen it in baseball, obviously, but I don't think I can remember seeing it in basketball. It's almost impossible to have fan interference in basketball.
Right, I know.
Aside from somebody running onto a court, but you don't get a technical for that. That guy gets escorted, booed, and put into a stadium jail.
Who's the dummy that threw a stuffed doll on the court?
And is that a public enemy number one?
I know, right? Now they're going to find him. Yeah, because we have ways. Yeah. We have ways of finding you. We'll do that Zapruder film thing. We'll do like the trajectory of the Bulldog as it was coming down to the court. Looked like that was coming in the high 160s in terms of the where the arena is.
And the scary thing is, believe me, they can find you. They have cameras all throughout the stadium, and yep. You don't even know that they're watching you.
It's funny, even before the advent of cellular phones with cameras, I remember there was a guy at a Giants game, New York Giants game, that was throwing snowballs. Right, he was chucking all these snowballs, and they had a picture of him in the back page of the New York papers. somebody went, yeah, I got it. And this was before camera phones, so you can imagine somebody going, I got this, click, click, click.
Yep.
And they had him. He was public enemy. I mean, they said he's going to be banned because he was chucking these ice balls at the players. So threw a stuffed toy on the floor. See, I'm not a big Georgia fan, so I'm not. So this is kind of laughable to me. But you know, I am willing to say that Tom Crean is correct.
Yeah, he definitely. Because I mean, if that's the case, you know, what's going to stop other people from now just putting plants in various parts of the stadium?
Exactly, Chuck. Oh, technical foul. Let's do it again, Chuck. Oh, we can't stop, Chuck. Keep him at the line, Chuck. Make sure he hits five of these things, Chuck.
Kind of like Shooter McGavin hiring that guy.
Yeah, right. 800-777-2907 is the telephone number you want to get involved in the program. On the Zion Williamson thing last night, what should Duke and what should college basketball, if anything? What is it? What's the impact of that coming up next?
It's Thursday, which means it's Throwback Thursday on SB Nation AM. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, honoring the year 1979 here on Throwback Thursday, SB Nation AM. Earth, Wind, and Fire?
Dang.
Right? Yeah, right. It's a catchy tune. See, I told you, remember we were talking about this, and I said 1979, just, it's got a good feel to it. Like, I feel like the music was good.
Yeah, I mean, you know,
I don't really remember it.
There's a lot of people who hate disco.
Yeah.
And then that whole era of music, but how can you not get, like, just feel good listening to the song?
Yeah, no kidding, right?
I mean, if you're cruising on the road right now and you're hearing this, crank it up.
Yeah, right? 1979, good tunes. All right, so last night, the failure of a Nike shoe prevented us from the basketball entertainment we so deserve. What are the chances that we wouldn't see a Zion Williamson play at Duke in the near future? The NBA has been considering dumping this one-and-done rule. Remember, guys, it's an NBA rule. It's not an NCAA rule. Okay, they didn't have anything to do with this. They are just the beneficiaries of it because they get mega talent for 1 year. Right. There's nothing they can do either. Right. There's the other side of the coin. Right. There's the other. They should have a rule that forces people to stay in college for 2 to 3 years. How in God's name are you going to do that? Like, seriously, like, can we just have some common sense? You can't force somebody to go to college.
No,
you can't force somebody to play college basketball.
No.
Unpaid. Like, what are you going to make them sign a contract? Right.
Who was it? The guy, I know he got drafted. He ended up getting drafted by Denver. Emmanuel, like, Mudiay.
Emmanuel, I mean, Mudiay.
He was like, nah, forget this. I'm not going to college. He took his talents to China, played over there for a year. And we might see more of that. People going to China, people going to Europe. Or the experimental league.
Yeah, I would do the G League. If I was the NBA, this is the main reason I would want to get rid of the rule. Now, because here's the problem. The G League doesn't give you the exposure that college basketball can give you. So if I'm, as of right now, kids who are like, you know what, I would love to try to win a national championship in college hoops. I don't need to go. I can't go to play in the pros anyway, so I can't go to the G League. But even if I would, I wouldn't go to the G League. I'd still want to play. You'd still have those players. But if you say to high school kids, especially these guys that are coming out of these, you know, major AAU programs, and they just know that they could go to the NBA right now. If you say, look, there is an opportunity for you to get paid, not a ton, but you can get paid. You can be a part of this G League. And then as soon as you're done with this, you're going right to the NBA, or you can be drafted out of high school, but spend a year in the G League, however they work it, whatever the collective bargaining agreement works out between the Players Association and the leagues, they do have to go through the Players Association on this. So this is not a, this is not something the NBA can do arbitrarily. They have to get collective bargaining with the NBA Players Union. And the reason is it's complicated, but it has everything to do with contracts and it has everything to do with time of service and all that other stuff that they don't want to mess with, right? So if you dump the one and done rule, you could still say you can't be in the NBA until you're 19 or 1 year removed from high school. But as a high school kid, you can go right to the G League. You can be drafted and go to the G League of that team's particular development league. Right. Now, instead of spending your time playing for free at Duke, where God forbid you bust an ankle.
Whose fault was it that created the one and done rule?
I think this was it goes back to, I want to say, mid-2000s. I think it was David Stern.
No.
Whose fault was it?
Yeah.
I don't think it was a fault. I think there was a moment where here's basically the scenario of what happened in the 2000s. The high school kids were coming out of everywhere, right? There was Kwame Brown in 2001. LeBron James came out. Dwight Howard came out. Before that, you have to go all the way back. Daryl Dawkins came out of high school. Moses Malone came out of high school.
Kobe.
Kevin Garnett, Kobe. I mean, the list goes on and on. There was a whole bunch of them. And I think Stern was seeing, okay, I got some guys like LeBron who are ready for this, and I got some guys who are like Kwame who are not ready for this. And I think, to be honest with you, I think the league was saying, look, we don't want to miss out. We don't want to miss on the draft. The pick is too important, right? So if I'm terrible, if I'm a lottery team, and I'm just god awful, I need that pick to work out. Now you're asking me, if I'm the Phoenix Suns, let's say, and I'm just, I got the number two or three pick, you're asking me to go to high school gyms and AAU around the country to scout talent. I can minimize that. I'll still do some of it, but I can minimize that by getting a year removed from that high school arena where I'm not driving some middle of nowhere Iowa. I got a year to really process these kids because some of these guys were just bombing out, and that's too risky. Yeah, LeBron worked out great. Kobe worked out great, right? But for everyone that did, there was ones that didn't. And I think the league was saying, we can do something about this. We can prevent this. Yeah, and I think that's what happened.
Because I also know it wasn't just the guys who went number one overall. It would have been
it
was the guys who went like 5 through 10 or, yeah, you know, even 12, 13 later on in the draft where it was, you know, they're taking a chance on a high school kid who just wasn't ready. But I didn't know if it like literally centered around, because I mean, we all, whenever we point at, like, you know, high school players not being able to make it, we always point at Kwame Brown.
Oh, of course.
And I didn't know, I couldn't remember, like, was there something about him? Was it something like, oh, you know, we're giving these young kids too much money too fast?
Because that might have been the case. I mean,
they signed huge contracts.
That Kwame Brown was in 2001. Obviously, 2 years later, you had LeBron in 2003 and then Dwight Howard in the following year. And those guys had worked out. But I think Kwame's, as he was in the league a few more years, you realize, man, this ain't working out at all. He's really falling apart. It wasn't just immediately.
That was Jordan's
fault. It took a couple years. Yeah, right.
It was all Jordan. You know, and even at the time, I remember when the pick came
out. A little bit of hubris there, right?
Well, when the pick came out, everyone was like, really? Him?
Yeah,
like even they were all shocked, because I think they were looking for, you know, what at that time would have been like the next Kobe or the next Kevin Garnett.
Yeah,
because that was before LeBron, obviously. You know, like you said, he worked out.
And listen, not every kid, and again, like I said before, not every kid at a high school is going to go, who can play in the NBA right out of high school, is going to would go to the G League, right? I mean, some people want to play Kentucky. Right. They want, listen, all right, I'll take 1 year and try to win a national title. And listen, there's something like college basketball and March Madness. That is a very attractive stage.
Yes.
So don't think that there's just going to be this mass exodus of this superior talent. There'll still be one and done players in college hoops because, again, and you think John Calipari is not going to be able to convince some kid. Let's say like Anthony Davis, for example, who could have gone right to the pros. You don't think John Calipari could sit in his house and convince him to go to Kentucky instead of the G League? So yeah, go to the G League. Go ahead. Go play for whatever amount of dollars. But you know what? If you come to Kentucky, you're going to be you'll be a legend forever and already in one place. And then you'll be a legend somewhere else as an NBA star. But trust me, Just play 1 year at Kentucky. You won't believe what you could get out of it.
Yeah, because the other problem that I have is even if you make them go to college and they're one and done, it doesn't guarantee that, you know, still when you draft that, when you make that pick, that, you know, you just made a bad pick a year later. And I'll point at Jahlil Okafor.
Sure.
You know, I mean, we all saw him when he coming out of college, the fact that he, you know, just the size of his hands alone would have made me say, yeah, he's ready for the NBA. Because, I mean, the guy literally, what, he was holding like three grapefruits in his hand. I was like, that's impossible. You can't do that. It's unnatural.
And, you know, I know I've said this before about Calipari. The one thing that he is very good at is he's very good at saying, you know, come to Kentucky and I'll work on the things you want to work on. Like, don't get me wrong. You're not just going to come to Kentucky and be part of some machine. If you have trouble rebounding, I'll work on your rebounding. If you have trouble with the mid-range jumper, I'll work on your mid-range jumper. I'll put you in positions to be successful. I'll get you ready for the next level. And that's how he pitches it. He doesn't just say, come do exactly what I tell you so I can win a national title. He gives the players who go to Kentucky some reason to go to Kentucky. And that's still going to be a factor. But you know what? Like, the overriding problem that I have with all this is, and again, it's just this idea of Zion Williamson was the main attraction last night. And yet everybody is talking, everyone's just buzzing about how, well, you know what? This is still amateur athletics. Or he's still getting something out of this deal that other people can't get. What is he getting? He's getting a year of education at Duke. That's all he's getting. He's giving them tremendous, tremendous value in this ticket nonsense, exposure stuff. And yet we pretend that amateurism is just fine. And it really isn't. It really isn't. Now, listen, my kid's going to go to college in a couple of years and he probably end up walking out of school with some debt. And a football player, even if he's not a star, but a scholarship player, doesn't get debt. So I understand there's a big advantage to that. But man, there is something weird about this system. Like last night, it was just, here's a number one pick in the NBA draft, and he blew out a shoe playing for free for Duke. Just, it's something weird about it. It's just something weird.
There's a definite disconnect.
There is a disconnect. And I know the arguments. Don't get me wrong. I know the arguments. Education is very valuable. A Duke education is very expensive. If he had decided to stay for 4 years and got a degree, that's worth hundreds of thousands of dollars, man. That's a lot of money. I get that. I get it. Don't get me wrong. But when the former president of the United States is showing up for a Duke North Carolina game, why is he showing up for a Duke North Carolina game? He's showing up for this kid. Why were the ticket prices Super Bowl levels? Because of this kid. And he blew out his shoe and suffered a mild knee sprain 33 seconds into the game. And I'm just shaking my head. Bad night for everybody. Well, maybe not for North Carolina, because they certainly felt great about winning that one. 800-777-2907. You want to get in the conversation? It's SB Nation AM.
This is Mike Herzing for Let's Talk Wheels, an automotive tip brought to you by the great folks at Jeep. Listeners email me every week asking which fuel to use, regular or premium. The answer is in your owner's manual. You remember, it's a small book in the glove box that most people never look at until there's a problem. If it says premium recommended, then that means the higher octane helps performance a little. That's it. If it says premium required, then your engine's really designed for it and you need to use it. Luckily, only a few high performance and luxury cars need it, not many. Folks, running premium fuel is not giving your car a treat. But what I would do is spend a few cents more per gallon and buy a top-tier fuel. Top-tier fuel has more than the minimum additives and cleaners that your engine really needs. All the major brands are top-tier fuels. Simple rule of thumb, folks. Buy your groceries at the grocery store and get your fuel at a major brand station. This is Mike Herzing with Let's Talk Wheels, brought to you by the great folks at Jeep. For more of my tips, go to letstalkwheels.com, and you can find us on Facebook as Let's Talk Wheels.
To celebrate the Jeep President's Day event, we're creating our own motorcade of the most awarded, best-selling SUV brand ever to hit the road and explore what lies beyond it. Leading the procession is Jeep Wrangler, American legend, and the 2019 Motor Trend SUV of the Year. Following close is Jeep Grand Cherokee, the most awarded SUV ever, and versatile Jeep Compass with its class-leading technology and connectivity. And rounding it all out is Jeep Cherokee with its nimble 31 MPG highway. But great deals on this motorcade will be coming to an end soon. So hurry in today to the Jeep President's Day event. The Jeep brand and Jeep Grand Cherokee have received more awards over their lifetime than any other SUV or SUV brand. Based on compact SUV segmentation, OEM website, Auto Knowledge, EPA estimated 4-cylinder, 4x2. Actual mileage may vary. Jeep is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC. It's Thursday, which means it's Throwback Thursday on SB Nation AM. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, we're celebrating 1979 and Throwback Thursday. I was going to guess this is Donna Summer, but this is Gloria Gaynor.
There you go. Shazam working fast for you today.
I know, it is working fast for me. No, the reason I know that is because I actually did a goofy promo thing with the Denver Broncos. We did like a cut, and we used this song, "I Will Survive." I think one of the players had left or something, and we played around with this song in the production room. It's a pretty good, funny bit. I mean, it was fun. I used one of the songs I used was with Jake Plummer and Mike Shanahan were coming together. "If I Can't Have You, I Don't Want Nobody, Baby." I don't know who did that song, but we brought that together once, and that was really funny. Because those two are like tied at the hip.
Can we say the best use of the song was in The Replacements?
Yeah, I haven't seen The Replacements in a long time. That's Keanu Reeves, right?
Yeah.
Gene Hackman and Keanu Reeves?
I find that movie sneaky good.
I want to watch it again now that you brought it up. Now that you've brought it up, I want to see it again. Tell me it's on Netflix or something.
I think it is, actually.
You know what's funny is we always talk about like Blockbuster. We're like, Blockbuster, nah, we don't need that anymore. Yeah, we do. There are movies I can't find that if I want to watch right now, I can't get on Redbox, or it's not on Netflix. It's not on Amazon. I can't get it.
It'll be through your cable provider, but you got to buy it. And I don't really know.
Every single movie that's ever been made?
I mean, for most of them, yeah, you can buy them.
Like, but, what if I want Breakfast at Tiffany's? Like, what if I want that old movie Breakfast at Tiffany's? I can get that through my cable?
You can probably buy it for like $7.99, but here's the problem. How do you take it with you?
That's right.
Because, I mean, eventually you might change cable. You might even cut the cord.
Yeah, that's true.
And then you've lost that money. That's the biggest scam I think I've ever seen, because I don't know how you would take it with you.
Like, I remember when, like, I was late to Swingers. Remember that movie Swingers?
Yes.
Like, I remember I was late to that. And people were saying, "Have you ever seen Swingers?" And I'm like, "No." And I like literally went down to the rental store and was like, "Where's Swingers?" I'm like, "Oh yeah, it's over there." And there was like one copy available, and I watched it. I was late to it, but yeah, you know, today I think that movie's on Netflix and stuff like that. But what if you get an obscure movie that would like you should watch, like The Replacements? I don't know. I hope I can find it.
I think it's on Netflix, but
all
if
right,
not,
I'll check it out
through your cable company. You can probably buy it.
You just reminded me. That was a pretty good movie. And I think Brooke Thiessen was in it, I think. I'm not sure. I'll have to look that up. Good movie, The Replacements.